All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to day three of Credit and Cash Flow. Show me the money. I'm your hostess, Jerry Tolliver, CEO of Fly Credit. And today, day three, we're going to be talking about debt elimination, specifically for my homeowners that are wondering, how do I get this 30-year mortgage? How do I pay it off in a fraction of the time? Well, I have speaker and a personal finance expert, Shani Curry St. Ville, that's going to be teaching you exactly some step-by-step, some nuggets on how you're going to eliminate all of your debt when it comes to your mortgage. So if you're trying to get that mortgage debt off your back, if you're ready to step forward and become 100% financially free, then this is the session for you. Now, a little bit about Shani. She can be seen as a guest personal finance expert on CBS Miami 4, a contributing writer to Black Enterprise, and on Amazon as a published author of 10 Things Every Woman Should Keep in Her Purse, sharing her passion to ensure that women everywhere focus on how much their bags cost and more on the wealth inside of them. So welcome, Shani. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
Oh, man. You know, I actually met Shani. I met you at, what was that conference that we met? FinCon. Oh, man. That was my first time that had ever been there. And my friends, if you don't know FinCon, it's a financial conference where a lot of speakers and influencers in the financial field, a lot of us finance nerds, get together and we connect with each other to bring more valuable information here about your credit, debt, money management, all that good stuff. And so Shani is a proven expert that's going to show you how to eliminate your debt. But before we get into that, Shani, please tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about how to pay off your mortgage sooner than either 15 or the 30 year. So I'll talk a little bit for myself from that perspective, just so you know, like why me and my husband got together and decided to do that in the first place. Both me and my husband are entrepreneurs. My husband's a contractor, and I'm a personal finance coach. Previous to becoming a personal finance coach, I was a banker. I wasn't a teller, but I was, when my clients were coming into the bank, whether they were getting mortgages, whether they were getting life insurance, whether if I were helping them remove some of those overdraft fees, is typically what my day-to-day was like. So once I lost my job back in 2008 during like the credit burst boom, right, the real estate boom, all the market went down completely. That was back in 2008. So a little bit before that, I just purchased my first property. At the time, I was like 22 years old, maybe about 6 months. So imagine that, right? So you're like 22 years old, you're already an overachiever, and you go and you purchase a property, and everybody's already giving you the stank face because they're like, not supposed to be doing that anyway. But I had the income and I had the credit, you know, so it was just a sensible thing to do. I could not predict that I was going to lose my job 6 months into it, right? That's the thing that you can't do about the non-prediction, right? And that's one thing about real estate, is that you do the best that you can to be on the side of the highest amount of predictability, to watch the waves, but sometimes the predictions are just not as supportive as you really need them to be, right? Or you're not really, I think at that age, maybe at 22, I probably wasn't really looking at the market. Had I been paying a little bit more attention, I could have probably predicted that 6 months into it, I bought the house for $161,000 and less than 6 months was worth $30,000. That's crazy, right? That's like crazy. But the predictability for that was that at the time, like, it wasn't as difficult to qualify for a mortgage. It just wasn't as hard. The standards for qualifying at that time way more lean. You know, people were saying I made $500,000 and, you know, using a cousin based stuff. So that is some predictability as to what was going to eventually happen to the market at some point. All of that, you know, negligence was going to catch up to us all. So here I am, 22 years old, caught right smack dab in that. Losing my job at the bank had a lot to do with the fact that the bank needed a whole lot of bailout. So I was newer, time to go, right? So anyway, during that period of time, that's when I met my husband, and we decided to get married. Well, what was crazy is that I was in this crazy upside down mortgage, and then my husband was also in a crazy upside down mortgage. So I had one for $161,000, he had one for $238,000. That was at that point worth $8,000. It was a crazy market. Nobody wanted to continue to pay those mortgages when the values were completely in the slums, right? So we're in this situation. So probably the first first thing that had to happen. And the only way that I start looking into non-traditional mortgages, right? So this is not, this conversation is not only for people that are currently in a mortgage. Of course, I'll speak to you, but I'm going to talk to those that are kind of just looking to get in a mortgage. Maybe that's what you're improving your credit score for, to move in that direction. You can look into untraditional mortgages, right? So when me and my husband decided to get married, we definitely didn't want to live in a house that was upside down. And then mine was a condo, so that was no way to grow a family. So what we started to do is look for other properties. So looking for other properties, but how, if you have these two mortgages, both of the lien holders already have mortgages in their name, if you don't have the income to predict that, support that, nobody's going to give you a mortgage. That just wasn't happening, right? So the good thing about it, predictability, is that when there's blood on the street, there's money to be made, from our friend Little Warren Buffett, right? He always says that. There was a lot of blood in the street. So we had the opportunity at that time, we had the opportunity to start kind of like watching the market, because I saw what's going on with my property and values had dropped like that. That must be meaning that there are some other properties that must be dropping, right? But how are we going to get this mortgage? How are we going to start this family? At that point, we started looking for non-traditional mortgages, right? Some people don't look for non-traditional mortgages, right? Simply because the interest rates are way too high. Me, myself, didn't even know about non-traditional mortgages until I got myself into a situation. And if I wanted a mortgage, that is probably the only way that I was going to do it. Either that, I could ask my parents to take some money out of 401k, and that's just ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. Hey, give me 8 grand. You know, maybe I'll give it back to you in 30 years when you need it. I didn't think that was going to happen, right? That wasn't the best thing to do. So we start looking into non-traditional mortgages. Specifically, we got ourselves a hard money loan. Now, a hard money loan, what you're going to find with those is that the interest rates on those are astronomical. Right now, you're probably going to get a decent interest rate for anywhere from 3 to 5%, depending on where your credit is. If you're on the slope side, maybe may go to 6, right? At that time, the interest rate on the property was about 22%. Crazy, right? Crazy. Who agrees to that? When the mortgage on my current property was about 5.25%, and you're paying 18. So that would probably be the first tip that I will offer over in terms of those who have not secured a mortgage yet. Don't be afraid to look into unconventional mortgages. Look into hard money lenders. Shani, where would I go? Where would I even find that out? Where would I go to even look for that? Probably join like a look in your local town and see where there's an investment club, a real estate investment club. Those are normally the people that's going to have this information on those type of lenders and those type of private money lenders. So that will probably be the first part to digging into the mortgage.
So I'm wondering, right, because so you're saying that when you got into purchasing your home, you and your husband were both upside down. And so did you get an unconventional loan on top of the loan you already had?
No, it wasn't necessary at that point. So his property, he ended up short selling his property. I ended up initially renting out my property, and then I ended up short selling it.
Ah, gotcha. So you got rid of it.
Huh? Say that again?
So you ended up getting rid of it eventually.
Yeah, so you ended up getting rid of it. I mean, it just wasn't a smart investment. And I think sometimes that's another thing about people that's getting into it. I know this depending on where you are, it's like sometimes you don't want to let go. You want to hold on to things, but they're not valuable. You understand? Like, they're just not valuable. They're not going to appreciate. You're not going to make your money back. In order for me to make my money back on that property, I would have to sit on it for 15 years. What am I going to do with a one bedroom, one bath? I have two children now. Where are we going to fit?
You're out in Miami, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Miami, and our market is crazy. Like, it's, wow. It's crazy. It's a crazy market.
That is so interesting. So right now, you and your husband have a house, but you use unconventional financing to get it.
Not anymore. I mean, that's how we initially got it. We paid off the mortgage completely. We don't have a hard money loan anyway. I mean, realistically, so that's what we're going to get into the story now, where it comes into the tips part of it, is that, I mean, you would have to be really just not really on top of your finances to just stay in a mortgage for 22%. That would just be crazy, especially when you look on the market and there's things for 6, 7, 5, 4, you know, there's a prime, you're not going to do this. It just doesn't make sense. So some of my other friends that are investors, where they find that, hey, they don't, for whatever reason, they may already have a mortgage in their name, they may get a hard money lender temporarily and maybe have it maybe for maybe about 12 months, right? That's still a little long, right? But they may have it for 12 months. And then once that property builds some equity, they improve their credit, they go ahead and get out of that mortgage and get themselves into a more conventional mortgage. So I have seen that happen. In our case, we only took 3 years to go ahead and get rid of that mortgage. So here goes another tip, is that we didn't go out and get the highest amount, right? You'll go out and get like a $200,000. Our house, when we purchased it at the time, was $80,000. Okay. So the hard money loan was for $80,000. At that time, like my house, like the condo that I was living in for 161 was a one bedroom, two bath. When we got the house, it was $80,000, four bedrooms, two bath, on a lake, prime real estate, right? So one of the most, like another point would be timing. Timing is very, very important when it comes to real estate. So therefore you, like if you're in the position where you're just getting your credit together, also be saving your money, because it's predicting that there's going to be, you know, another recession, right? So if you're saying there's going to be another recession, that means that the price of real estate is definitely going to go down. So all the people screaming and crying and going ahead, you haven't been eating all of your money, right? Doing a whole lot of eating out, and you're not going to go crazy because Christmas is right around the corner, because there is a high level, if you look at the news, there's a high predictability for a recession, right? So if a recession happens, that means the cost of real estate is going to drop astronomically. So while I was getting out of a property and getting out of a mortgage that was not working for me, I had the opportunity to get in on a property that definitely does work for me. Bought the property for $80,000. It's now worth $280,000. That was 10 years ago. Bought the property in 2010. We knocked it on 2020, right? So that is, you know, so now we were just sitting on the equity at this point. We could tap into the equity to buy more properties. We've since then bought more properties, sometimes using a hard money lender and sometimes securing a standard mortgage. But the reason why I'm sharing that is for those of you, two of the biggest tips that's involved in that is, number one, is that don't be afraid to look into other financing starting right out. That would probably be the first thing. The second thing is that know that that's not the only type of mortgage that you can get. You don't have to necessarily get a 30-year mortgage. There's also 15-year mortgages. And probably one of the smartest things that me and my husband did together is that we did not bite off more than we can chew, right? We didn't get a $200,000 property, you know? So you started really small, and then you have the opportunity to grow in it. And then the last thing is just timing, right? So watch the market, see what's going on. Sorry about that. Watch the market and see what might be going on. Save your money so that you can have the opportunity to take advantage of it. So that will probably be the first thing to getting, you know, a mortgage that's going to work for you, knowing what's on the marketplace that can work differently.
I like that tip. Not only just saving, but not spending over your means, right? Not getting over your head in a mortgage payment or a mortgage loan, because it's easy, like you said, to let the unpredictability of it all kind of drown you in the process of it all.
Right. So oftentimes when I'm working with my individual, we're going to miss off something that's really important. So what I'm talking to my clients is that's probably one of the main things that they might do that I might find to be deeply restrictive, right? And that's like getting a mortgage that is just too high to begin with. Getting a mortgage that just doesn't work for your finances. Getting a mortgage where your mortgage payment is $2,500 and you're only making $3,600. Mm-hmm. That doesn't any sense, right? I would say, and then oftentimes like the first property that I purchased when I was like 22 years old, I think I was just so excited that like I was 22 years old, I had the income, I had the credit, I had money, I accessed the money by going ahead and get my down payment out of my 401k. I had been working in the corporate world for a while, so I was just rolling that money over. To use that as my down payment. I worked at the bank, so I was able to buy down my rates. Like, it just totally worked out for me. I bought the model, so they gave me all the furniture. I thought I really knew what I was doing, right? What I should not have done is bought myself a one bedroom, one bath, right? It was like in the metropolitan city, but the thing is that I didn't predict is, okay, the market is going to go down. And even then, let's say I should have been thinking more savvy, where I got at least a two bedroom, two bath. That way, if I fell on hard times, or let's not say I fell on hard times, maybe I was just being a strong entrepreneur. Therefore, I could have always rented one of those rooms out. So that is a tip for you right there. Oftentimes, I think that when people are tapping into first-time home buyers program or having the opportunity to purchase the first property, they're thinking about, like, they're thinking about a status symbol, right? That's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about, I'm going to live in this neighborhood because these people are going to think this and this, this, and that. Like, your first property should be a bona fide investment. It is not like your dream house. Unless you just had, you're already at the income level. And even if you're at the income level that you want to be at, if you have the opportunity to add to your income in a residual way, then it just makes sense to set your portfolio up like that right out the gate. So to just break that down is that if you're going to look for a property, don't forget that you have the opportunity to qualify for a multiplex. You don't have to get a single family property. Right? So if you're thinking about getting a mortgage, don't go right off the bat and say, hey, let me just go ahead and just get the biggest, bestest house that I could possibly get. It probably would make more sense to look at it as a bona fide investment.
Ah, that makes perfect sense, actually. A lot of my real estate investor friends do say that rather than getting a single family where, you know, that's your primary place of residence and it won't cash flow you anything, you can get like multi-unit where you can use those other units in the building to pay your mortgage and get it paid off a lot faster.
Yeah. But you can't be like, you can't have your whole mind on like wonder, like if you're playing the long game, like you can't have your mindset on like materialism, you know, like the neighborhood that I live in, I think it's, I mean, it's now valued at $280,000. There's probably a couple of homes on the block that might go up to maybe about 10, but it's not, I mean, I'm not scared to go outside, but it's not like prime real estate. I mean, prime real estate in South Florida is probably maybe about $500,000, right? So when you're thinking about that, or maybe at that time, you know, $200,000 at that point. But when you're thinking about it, how are you going to be able to move along in a mortgage like that? How are you going to be able to move along? You know, even if you can afford it, that's another thing, another tip that once you do get over the credit game, then just because you get qualified, let's say you like, Shawnee, I heard about those private lenders, but I can't do that, no problem. I got it. I did it. It worked. I love it. Right? But let's say that's just a little too much for you, right? But when you sit down in front of a mortgage broker, even though they're going to do 33% of your DTI, right? Your debt to income ratio, your debt, right? How much things coming out and how much you have coming in, they're going to create a ratio. For them to qualify you for a house, it's going to be at that 33%, right? That's what you're going to be. They don't want you to spend more than 33% of your income, right? But what they're not looking at, they're just looking at your regular bills, your car insurance, your car payment, your student loans. They're not thinking about birthdays. They're not thinking about Christmas. They're not thinking about the business that you want to start. They're not thinking about any of that. They're just thinking of that 33%, and the mortgage broker gets paid on commission, so he's going to max you out all the way to that 33%. So if you sign on the dotted line, you press here, sign here, and you know, press hard, sign here, then you're good, right? That's all they're really thinking about. But you, on the other hand, you may say, you know what? Let me come down on this, maybe about $300, maybe $400. When you go out and you look for property, and you may not be completely. So another thing about this property, when we moved into it, it didn't look like what it looks like now. We had to actually remodel room by room. You understand? Like, we moved it room by room. At one point, me and my husband just lived in one room in the entire house. Like, we were willing to do that. We're willing to do that, right? Some people don't have willingness, right? Just don't have willingness. They're just thinking about, I want what I want, and they don't. They're doing the short game, right? I don't think about the mortgage. Mortgage non-existent. That will probably be another thing. Like, when you start thinking about paying down your existing mortgage, start thinking to yourself, what else can I do with this cash flow? What else can I do with this cash flow? How can I begin to use this cash flow to either, number one, make myself more profitable as a person? Maybe since I'm not spending as much on my, you know, once I get rid of my mortgage, now I have money to invest either in real estate or in stocks and bonds, right? That might be something. You may have an idea that you really can't really see simply because all of your money is going towards your mortgage. So deciding to live a little low temporarily so that you can experience some authentic financial freedom later is totally worth it. I remember the period in which we were saving to, you know, pay off this, using money to pay off the mortgage. It was not a very fun time, right? It wasn't, I'm just really getting into the place in my business where my business is profitable and where, like, I can see that sacrifice, right? It was like a little bit of time where, like, even though we were paying the mortgage off, I couldn't really see the sacrifice. I saw that, yeah, the debt that we had, we're starting to eliminate it, but liquidity was, like, crazy. It was not fun. It wasn't enjoyable. Taking your entire salary and throwing it at a mortgage, it wasn't enjoyable. But now, it has given me the flexibility to, number one, build out a business. Number two, like, I'm not crunched about, you know, how I spend my time, because I'm not crunched about how I spend my time. I am completely creative. I can organize my time in a way that allows me to invest in better ideas, to build my company in a more functional way, and to serve my clients to the highest. So you got to think about your why. Why would I sit there and pay off my mortgage? Why would I even do that? Some of my other financial friends, they don't necessarily think that paying off your mortgage is like one of the strongest things to do. So I will, you know, I'll throw in some cons. Sometimes people, when they're advocating against you paying for your mortgage, they feel that like mortgage debt is like the lowest type of debt that you can have, right? So they may, because like maybe you're capping out at maybe about, if somebody gives you a mortgage and you just, let's say you cap out at about maybe 5 to 6%, that is unmatched when it comes to your credit card debt, right? I didn't have a huge amount of credit card debt. I had $14,000 in student loans. My husband had maybe $20,000 in student loans. So it didn't really feel like, okay, this is a crunch. Another thing is like my husband is from the island, so this is more common. You know, with people that are from the Caribbean, they don't know nothing about debt. Like they don't understand it. It's just not like a relatable term. Like they'll turn their nose up at you if you have a car payment. Right? It's just not a thing, right? So I also don't have a car payment. I don't have a car payment, not because like I can't go and get another car. It's just because I drive a 2008 Lexus GX 470. It runs very well. I'm not material in that way. Yeah. I have two children that I'm positioning. They have companies. You know, that money is the same. I don't think about it. So the other thing about it is that sometimes like you got to switch off that material mindset in order to really get to money mindset. Can you affordability and tolerance are two different things. Just because you need the money, have access to the money, doesn't mean that you need to exploit the money. Especially if you are, you know, African American, right? And you're having the opportunity to make way more than your grandparents, right? We're having the opportunity to have access to technology, education, resources, job opportunities, that information that our grandparents just didn't, right? So sometimes I know it's enjoyable, right? We're millennials and we're having a great time with college and finally making some money. So now I want to spoil myself, right? But move your mindset from thinking, girl, they walked through the door, they scared me, right? I'm like, who coming in the house, right? So stay that way. Thanks. Yes, star, go that way. Thanks. Okay, those are nothing like the people that you save for and walk in, right?
Yeah.
So don't jump in the window, son. Don't.
My daughter was about to do the same thing. I said, well,
hold on. I thought you were looking at her like, sis, no, sis, not at this moment. Okay. All right, so he's probably going now. I don't believe in corporal punishment, but if he jumped in this video, we're going to have to test it out today. Don't jump in this video. Oh, yeah. No, it's not about you. Okay. Anyway, you see, they don't, that's like that, you know, that's the main reason why you don't want to have a mortgage is because if you have to pay for therapy, you know, you got to have a little extra on the side, you know, somebody to talk to.
I love it. It's so funny.
All right. So moving on. So that would probably like that would be like the mindset change. That would be the only part. The other part would be like the mindset switch. What would I do this for? So if you're listening to the video and you're saying like, okay, I heard you say that you made a huge amount of sacrifice in order to achieve that goal. If you made a huge amount of sacrifice, start thinking about why this would even make sense to you. The point that I was making before my children walked in is that oftentimes some mortgage friends will offer that. Hey, you know, interest rates on credit cards are, you know, 15%, 22%, 33%, depending on what your credit score is. So it feels more sound for them to go ahead and just pay off a credit card debt, right? Because the interest rate, and I get it, I totally get it. But if you're not in the position where you have accrued that amount of debt, then before you jump into the mortgage, already have in your mind, this is something that I'm going to eliminate first, you know, eliminating the mortgage? How do I begin to reduce my mortgage? So there's number one of the things that you can look into is bi-weekly payments. You can consider doing bi-weekly payments. Bi-weekly payments will shave your mortgage down by at least 10 years.
Mm.
That is one of the other things that you can do.
Okay. So bi-weekly payments. And then you also mentioned something about the credit cards having the higher percentage rates.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Okay. So yeah, so let's say some of my other financial friends may offer that instead of paying off a mortgage, it makes way more financial sense to go ahead and knock off your credit card debt simply because your credit card debt has higher interest rates when you compare that. So if you're going to be doing strong debt elimination, I'm in alignment with that actually, right? I'm in alignment with that. If you can afford to do both, so maybe you may look at, after this conversation, you may go look at your credit report or call all of your credit card companies, write it down and find out what the interest rates are, right? Once you write down the interest rates before you decide that, hey, if I'm going to throw extra money at something, maybe I should throw it at my credit cards first because those interest rates are higher. But let's just say you don't have a whole lot of credit card debt. That's not something that you oftentimes, you don't even have the opportunity to get into a whole lot of credit card debt. When I'm looking at my client's debt, they may have about $3,500. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we're talking about some of my more affluent clients that have had the opportunity to build their credit score, now they're actually into some bona fide debt. But mm-hmm. oftentimes, if this is like you're right in the beginning of it, you may have up to $3,500 of debt. So it may not, you know, you can pay that off very quickly. The interest rates are higher. Okay, fine. That's your strategy. But then after that, the next thing that you start to do is like, okay, how can I begin to, you know, add value to this mortgage that I have? Because the beauty of it is that it appreciates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just setting up, looking at the interest rate. So maybe, hey, you may want to go ahead and do the credit cards first, depending on where you are in the game. I don't know your personal finances, right? So you may look at it, be like, you know what? My interest rates are a little bit higher if I'm going to cut down. Number one thing that most people spend a whole lot of money on is just eating out, right?
Yeah.
During that period of time, I ate a lot of sandwiches.
I love that. So it's really about shifting the mindset, right? Shifting the mindset to one of not consumerism, not really worrying about what other people think about you.
That was a part of the process, right? That was a part of the process. Eating more sandwiches. Oftentimes, we, you know, really cutting down on the amount of time that you go out to eat. Declining some invitations, right? Sometimes people want you to come to birthday parties. You got to show up, you got to get dressed. I mean, you're talking about $200-$300 just to walk out the door, right? You got to buy a gift, get your hair done, get your nails done, get everything done. Then you got to buy food when you get there. They may want a gift. You know, so depending on what your goals are, you may decide that, you know what, for this year, I'm going to decline some of those invitations. I'm simply just going to, and I did this. This is not something I'm talking about. Like during that period of time, decline those invitations. He'd be like, well, where y'all at? Like, he's missing a lot, you know, just missing. Send your little birthday card, got $25 in there. That's it. You need a whole family of four or what?
I love that. I love that. So,
hey, you know, now you're in a different state, so it's about temporary sacrifices, you know, in order to experience some level of abundance, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you give us some really good tips. So just as a quick recap, right, before we wrap up, I heard you say save the money. I heard you say, you know, don't fall into the trap of consumerism. Pay off your credit card debt early, and then kind of watch the market because timing is everything. Do you have any other extra tips that you would want to give somebody? And also, I'll definitely drop how can the audience or the people that's watching this, how can they get in contact with you?
Okay, so on everything, I'm Person Empowerment. All things Person Empowerment. Wherever you look, you find everything under Person Empowerment. If you are a new homeowner and you would like to read a book, you know, that can really help you get into the process of homeownership, my book talks about that. 10 Things Every Woman Should Keep in Her Purse. I know, but I wrote the book for women. I know, but it doesn't mean that you can't read it too, guys, right? It talks about eliminating credit card debt. It talks about selecting your first stocks. It talks about getting an eraser because sometimes you need an eraser just to erase some of your really, you know, horrible habits, right? Sometimes you just have like a horrible relationship with money. So like sometimes like I sit down with my clients and the whole goal for me is like, what else can you do with the money? That's like a big question that people just need to ask themselves on a regular basis. what else can I do with this money, right? Oftentimes they don't feel that. They're always thinking, why not? Why not spend it? I have it. Why not? As opposed to the mindset is like, what else can I do with the money? That'll help you become a different type of saver. So even when I sit down and create a strategy for some of my clients to pay off their card debt, right? I'll come up with a, let's say they're in a 36-month loan or maybe a 48-month loan. I'll say, hey, if you punch this, you get rid of that, you can get rid of your credit, you can get rid of your card debt. And they go, well, why would I do that? Because you get so accustomed to just sending all your money out, but you don't realize that keeping some of your money in is going to give you the opportunity to make better choices. Better money choices is going to lead to better education for your children, you know? So during that period of time when we were eating sandwiches, my kids were in good extracurricular activities, you know? Now they don't eat much sandwiches now. They eat off the sandwich. They eat sushi, honey. They eat all the food that they don't eat. I don't be stressed. Had they done that when they was 2 and 3, baby, they would have to eat all that food. You hear me?
I love it.
So that's probably the biggest thing. Well, why? What else can I do with the money? So when you're thinking about saving, you have to think, what else can I do with the money? And if you're unwilling to save, you don't have a big enough goal.
Yeah.
You don't have a big enough goal. If you're always creating a savings account, you always find yourself going back into that savings account, your goal is not big enough. That means you don't have nothing that's really pushing you to create. You don't have nothing. Like, if for you to say, I want to have $500 in my bank account, or I want to have $5,000, that's not going to stop you from going on a girl's trip if your friends call you. It's not. It's just not enough. Like, if you look in your account and you got $500, and it only costs $500, you want to go on a trip, you're going on a trip.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's what you want to do. So there go bye-bye savings. I see you later. I catch you on tax time, right? But if you have a large enough goal, if you are creating an app, right? If you're creating an app, or if you already know, hey, all I need is X amount of credit score and $1,500 to close on this house, your friend call, time to go on a girl's trip, girl. We got this real good package. All you got to do is pay $500. Now, you know you're going to pay $500, but then you got to get your fits together. That's another $500. Then you going to eat when you're over there. That's another $300. Then they going to want to drink. That's another $200. Now you're going to make a down payment, you know?
Funny.
So it's typically that your saving goals aren't big enough. Get if the challenge is before you thinking about paying off my mortgage, because some people, they think like, oh, that's a status symbol. I'm under 40 years old. I'm not even 40. I don't have a mortgage, right? I don't have a car payment. And while that feels good and that's not something that I have a t-shirt for, I don't go on the street, like, I don't have a mortgage, but it does have an impact on like
your mental quality health.
It has a huge mental health. So while I'm not, you know, there's things that I don't think about, just not the concern of being like, okay, you know, just the flexibility of knowing that that's just not something that I have to pay, right? I'm not even thinking about, I'm not worried that the house might this, that, you pay the taxes, you pay the insurance, you Gucci, right? So and what that has done for me is giving me the opportunity to be creative. So if you're going to challenge yourself to eliminate your mortgage, right? If you're going to get into a process where you're going to send in maybe just 2 extra payments, right? Sending in 2 extra payments, even if you say to yourself, you know what, that bi-weekly payment system doesn't really work for me. That's just something simple that you construct with your bank. You can call them and say, hey, I'd really like to test out, you know, paying off my mortgage on bi-weekly. That's going to have me a 30% savings off when you're talking about $200,000. If you're talking about 30% of $2,000, that's nothing, but 30% of $200,000, $250,000, or if you're in Florida, $350,000, you know, that's a huge amount of savings. Even if you can't commit to that, start thinking when you get bonuses, right? When you get bonuses, even if you're going to send in an extra $500, right? If you get a commission, maybe you ball out on 50%. You don't ball out on the whole. You ball out on 50, and then you pay more money towards your mortgage, right? Let's say when you get your tax return. When you get your tax return, don't look at your, that's your money. That's why I say a return, right? That means you gave it to them, and now they returned it to you. Ain't nobody giving you nothing. That's your money, right? It's a return, refund, right? So when you have the opportunity to create a refund, think to yourself, okay, whatever, I'm going to take X amount of dollars and I have a little bit of fun, but I'm also going to do something for my future. I'm going to have fun and I'm going to have future. So when that payment comes in, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to send that extra payment over. When Christmas is coming, tell people, your boyfriend, your boo, whoever, you know what? I have this goal where I want to send in an extra payment. So instead of getting me, you know, these five little things that I'm probably not going to fit, don't want, don't like, just let me just pay it towards some more, right? So those just thinking about that. So I'm going to just slenderize my tips. Number one, the first thing would be if you have the opportunity or not in a mortgage, don't be afraid to look into non-traditional mortgages. Don't just think that just because a 30 is being offered to you, that's the only thing that you can have the opportunity to take advantage of. The second thing is before you get into the debt of saying, hey, I want to eliminate my mortgage, think about why. And if you find that you start it and then you stop and you don't keep to your goal, it's probably because you don't have a big enough why. For some people, it may be, well, you know what? One thing I don't have to do, I don't have to rush to pick my kids up from school. I don't have to rush to do that, right? Because I can strategically organize myself. That to somebody else, that might be minute. But driving in traffic is agitating. I be having cramps all over, you know. I don't like that, right? So yeah, that might be a simple why. Somebody else, their why might be way bigger than that. It may be bigger than that. They want to buy their second, they want to do their third property, the fourth property. The other tip would be don't be afraid to live low so that you can buy high, right? Don't be afraid just for a tip. Sandwiches, okay? If you look, if after this video, you just go look at your bank statement. And if you see Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, Popeyes, Flanagan's, you know, lime, Dunkin' Donuts, you can say to yourself, where is the money?
Yeah. That's you know? Going. Yeah, you're eating your money.
Right? Sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Bun and cheese. All right, that would be the other thing. Just go ahead and do that. Don't worry about people's opinions. They're going to judge you for a little bit. And then after a while, they're going to ask you how you did it. Yep. How did you pay off your mortgage? Why does it seem that you are a lot happier? Why do you seem a lot freer now? Why are you not paying your mortgage? You know, while everybody, now you got to put extra money in your retirement. Yeah. You
pay off your mortgage. I love it. This is great. Yep. Thank you so much, Shani. I really appreciate your time today and giving us these tips. And so I hope you guys got some good tips today because Shani definitely dropped a lot of bombs on you. And so what I would love you to do, of course, is reach out to Shani at Purse Empowerment, right?
Yes, Purse Empowerment on everything. Purse Empowerment on IG, Purse Empowerment anywhere you look, purseempowerment.com. If you have questions specifically about how can you create a strategy that would allow you to pay off your mortgage a whole lot sooner.
Cool. So for all my friends out there that are going to be future homeowners, or if you're a homeowner right now, definitely start connecting with Shani. Get some more of those tips so that you can strategize freeing yourself from that 30-year or 15-year mortgage. And so thank you again, guys, for joining us for day three.
Of Yeah, Veda, thank you so much. I appreciate being here with you.
Thank you. And so guys, if you did not catch all the tips, or if you want to get unlimited access to this, all you got to do is click the button below so that you can get your all access pass. If you missed some of the other sessions, no worry. The all access pass is going to give you all access unlimited every single session, some extra bonuses in this event. So I hope you guys got some great information today. Again, my name is Jerry Tolliver at Fly Credit, and I will see you guys next time. Have a great night.
Later.